So, A Savior Came to Save, is that the name of the song? Yeah. All right, so if you go to Spotify, Luke recently had that song released, and he was sharing, I hope it's okay, you may hit me later. He said, for every 1,000 times somebody downloads, he gets $6. So I figure if our whole church goes, he can get $3. All right, so let's download A Savior Came to Save as a Christmas song he released, and I love it. I asked him to sing that today. He had sang it for us, I think, a couple years ago, and it, I really enjoyed that song. Hey, as I mentioned, today we're going to hear from you, some folks that had some things that happened in their life. And first, Alex and Catherine, go ahead and start making your way up here wherever you are. Yeah. And this first one, man, I've been waiting to share this story, just figuring out what's the best way to introduce Alex and Catherine to you, because their story of their, I'm going to use an old-fashioned term, courtship, was just phenomenal. All right. So if you are here and you have kids that have not started dating yet, or kids that are dating, or grandkids that date, man, you need to hear their story, and we're probably only going to scrape the surface today, but you'll want to get to know their story and how they did things so that you can teach your kids and your grandkids how to properly have a relationship that, you know, theirs led to marriage. A couple weeks ago, they got married, so let's give them a hand for getting married there. Yeah. But I really wanted you to meet them, and so we're going to meet three different pairs of people today that had some things happen in 2019 that I just wanted you to hear about. Okay? So here we go. So this is Alex and Catherine. Hello. How are you? You got to swing your chairs a little bit so people can see your beautiful face there, Alex. And here we go. And we'll do the best we can there to get everybody to see. So I gave them questions ahead of time. I'm more of a swing shoot from the hip kind of guy when it comes to talking to people, but I told them I'd stick to my script so that they could practice, and I'm sure on their honeymoon that's exactly what they were doing, that they were going through their questions, and we won't go there. Okay, all right, so tell us how the two of you met. Oh, I'm sorry, let me make sure that you're on there. Yeah, I just got to push that button, and you're good. All right, there you go.
All right, we're good? Okay. So, if you guys aren't familiar, Alex and I were both going to school at NMC, and then eventually Alex ended up going to Grand Valley, but I had been attending a group called His House. If you're not familiar, it's like a Bible study that NMC offers, and I had been going there pretty regularly, and I actually got the chance to meet one of Alex's sisters that had been attending there as well, and then he at the time was not going to school at NMC, but he ended up going one day with his couple of his sisters to the His House get together, and that's kind
of. It sounds to me like he sent his sisters to scope out the single females at his house, and they came back and told him about it. That's just what I'm reading in my mind.
I think he doesn't like to share that part,
okay,
but I think.
Right. Anyway,
I think
sorry,
secretly.
Go ahead.
And so, I mean, he fights it, but I started the conversation. But so we started talking from his house, and things kind of went from there.
All right. So, at what point did you know that you wanted to ask her out?
Well, initially we had gotten each other's numbers, and at the time I wasn't actively looking to enter into a relationship. I was trying to focus on me as a person, myself, and my faith. And as we began talking more and more, we immediately went into our faith and what Christ meant to us, and how that played a significant role in our lives. And at that point, I was like, okay, you know, she's obviously incredible. You know, I'm obviously going to have to ask her out, and yeah, here we are today.
So I want to rewind, because I'm curious. So how did you ask her for your number? Give the single guys in the room something to work with.
Well, that's actually an interesting story, because we obviously hit it off at his house. We were talking, laughing the entire night. But like I said earlier, I wasn't actively looking for a relationship at the time. But one of Catherine's friends actually saw how well we were getting along, and she kind of managed to put two and two together. And
made for a really good awkward situation.
Yes.
It
yes.
was great. So here I'm like, be quiet, like, stop. This is, like, I'm embarrassed. We're walking away. And he's, you know, a gentleman about it, but, yeah.
Very cool. All right, so this is the part that I want everybody to hear that I thought was really cool. So either before you took Catherine out the first time or after, you had a conversation with a very important person in Catherine's life. So tell us how that went and why you chose to do that.
Yeah, from the start, I realized how important family is to me, and Katie coming from a Christian home, I could also understand that she would obviously be her parents' world. How could she not be? So I really wanted to start off on a good foot, kind of show her parents the respect they deserve, introduce myself, and just kind of give them a rundown of who I am. I wanted to assure them that I would respect their daughter. You know, I would care for her while we're out, and yeah, I just really want to start off on a good first note, a good foot. Yeah.
So your first impression, I'm sure, was great. How was Chris's impression on you when you asked his daughter if it was okay if you went out with her? Did he tackle you?
It was toned down slightly. The second time I came over, yeah, it was just...
I warned him in advance.
She didn't warn me before I came over.
Right. Very good. So I wanted you guys to hear that. So that Alex, he had interest in Catherine, and before he went to actually take her out on a date, he went and met her parents and sat down, had a conversation with them, and in essence, asked permission, right? I mean, is it okay if I take your daughter out? To me, that's lesson number one, right? As we teach, especially our young men, what it means to date and what it means to properly have a relationship with a girl and to do things in the right way, we need to talk to their parents, or we as parents need to talk to those boys that want to take the daughters out. And so to me, that's just vitally important and an important aspect that I wanted to make sure everybody heard and that we teach our young men. So I'm jumping around a little bit. Where was the question? I was going to ask it. Anyway. So, Catherine, before Alex came in the picture, you were a little discouraged and praying. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think most girls could totally, relate to this level of just, it was hard growing up in a small town. It was really challenging to meet other Christians who I could relate to, even just on a friendship level, let alone a relationship, someone who I could see eye to eye with. And so I kind of felt like the oddball, and it became hard to believe that I was going to find this great soulmate. You know, I wasn't giving it to God the way I was supposed to. And so, I worried about it, and it affected me, and it made me feel, you know, like, what's wrong with me? Why am I not finding this partner? You know, what am I doing wrong? And I just had the complete wrong perspective about it. And it's hard going to a school where, you know, everybody's living such different lives, and nowadays you see everything on social media where relationships are perfect and you fall madly in love, and it's like, okay, what am I doing wrong? And so, yeah, it was almost discouraging at first, because it was like, okay, when is this going to happen for me? What's God's plans? And I just had the wrong perspective about it, and I needed to not pray, God put this person in my life. It was like, okay, it's God's timing, God's will, and, you know, God will introduce me to that person when it's the right time to, and I just wasn't handling it correctly.
So what did your parents taught you about dating, and how they prepared you for dating?
My parents, you know, I wasn't allowed to date until I was 16, and, you know, being a young kid, I was like, wow, I have the worst parents, you know? I felt like, you know, I was the one kid who had a lot of rules, and my parents were strict, and so I felt, you know, weird, and but they, you know, one thing that sticks out the most to me growing up was we watched the sermon about guardrails, and how God has these guardrails he wants you to put up so you can have this life that he wants for you. Because God wants you to have all these wonderful blessings. And so if you put up these guardrails, like, you know, not put yourself in a situation where you potentially fall in love with someone who's not a believer. You know, putting up that guardrail so you're saving yourself and you're ready to meet that person that God has intended for you. I mean, I can look back and be really grateful for not having a lot of regrets because I put up guardrails so that eventually when God wanted to put that person into my life, that was the right person to fall in love with, I was ready. Yeah. And that's something that we've talked about most of my childhood, and I've always kind of stuck with, you know, having those guardrails was different than what most other students were doing. And, you know, through high school and college, they lived a very different lifestyle, and I had to be that person that was like, no, I'm going to choose to live different than them in hopes that, you know, I know that God has a bigger picture for me.
Yeah. The sermon series she's referring to is by the other Andy yeah. Stanley. He did a series called Guardrails, which is a really interesting sermon series. And I would encourage you again, especially if you have young folks in your life or if you're single and thinking about the whole dating and relationships picture, it's a great series to go through. All right, so I'm going to kind of go toward a wrap up here. Tell me about your dating relationship and how God was in the center of that, how Christ was in the middle of your dating relationship.
Okay, so early on, I wanted to make sure that our relationship was very God-centered. I had been in a relationship where we weren't very equally yoked, and for that reason alone, our relationship struggled and my relationship with Christ struggled. And going into our relationship, I wanted to make sure that that was the center, that our relationship revolved around Him rather than each other. And so very early on, we started reading the Bible together. We actually did that, reading through the Bible in 1 year. And through doing that, I felt our relationship grow significantly together and as we grew with Christ. That just pulled us together. And through that process, ultimately, I think really showed me who Katie was and her relationship with God and how strong that is. And that really meant the world to me.
Yeah, awesome. I talk with people in premarital counseling, and Jeff Badgerow shared this one statistic. The bad news is that half marriages end in divorce, second marriage is 70%, third marriage is 80-some percent. People living together before marriage, it's in the 70-some percent end in divorce. But less than 1% of couples that pray together every day get divorced. And so you obviously were establishing that early on in your dating relationship, that this is who we are and what our relationship is going to be about. That's awesome. Well, hey, thank you for sharing. So recapping, he asked permission to date Chris's daughter, right? That was bold, but that was obviously a good move. Catherine had been not wanting to be unequally yoked, neither did Alex, and so they prayed about this. And in God's timing, he revealed for them who that life partner would be. And they prayed and read the Bible together as they dated. How many of us can say that we did those things as we were dating before we got married? I mean, that's. But because of that, when we had their wedding a couple of weeks ago, I stood up here with confidence and sharing from God's Word with just no doubts that this couple is just going to grow. They'll have bumps and bruises, as we all do in marriage, but man, they are just going to thrive as a married couple because they're putting Jesus in the center. So for that, let's give them a hand and thank them. Thanks, guys. Thanks. I appreciate it. Thank you. All right. The next victims, friends we have, Scott and Nick, come on up. Scott Severance and Nick Moore, two of our high schoolers that are in David's high school youth group. Let's give them a hand.
You shouldn't have given me this. This is too much power.
Everybody settle in for a long one here. No, the reason I asked Scott and Nick to be up here is that they went to church camp this summer, and they had a great week at church camp, and something happened at that week at church camp where I thought, these two guys are leading the way in this, and we need to hear what that was. So, so you decided you were going to share your faith with a fellow camper that week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so what caused that decision to take place to say, hey, we need to step out maybe of our comfort zone and share with this guy?
I hate to say it, but David honestly did a lot of the heavy lifting with a lot of the so every night he would give a almost mini sermon, a little thing, and there were guest speakers and stuff like that, but honestly, as it kind of progressed throughout the week, we could see, because we grew close with this guy, his name was Aaron, and as we've grown closer with him, we saw that they were kind of taking an emotional kind of impact with him, because he wasn't a believer at the time, and the more that he kind of listened to the stuff, the more he kind of was asking questions and talking about stuff with us. And the more we saw that happening, the more we realized, oh, wait, there's something here. Like, there's a potential for something. So
Nick, tell us your story. How did you come to know Christ?
Well, when I was younger, my family went to church. And as we kind of fell away, mainly because we couldn't really find a church that we couldn't find a church that we really liked, like we wanted to go to. But we, a couple years later, quite a few years later, my stepmom was diagnosed with breast cancer, and after that happened, after the surgery, my dad and my mom decided to start going to church, and I just kind of stayed home because I didn't want to go to church, but I wasn't really there, like I didn't feel obligated to go yet. And it wasn't till probably a couple months later after they started going, I had a dog sit for my brother. And it was very lonely at the house, and I decided I wanted to go. And, I mean, it wasn't for the right reasons, but at least I was going. And after that, I decided, wow, this could really turn out to be something. And then David moved here from Oregon, and I just kind of started going after that and, like, really starting to know Christ. And that following summer, I got baptized by David. So it turned out, so.
Yeah. Well, so what year was it? Was it 18 or 19? 2018, right, when you were baptized? That sound right? Two summers ago?
Yeah, it was 2018. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so 2018, you become a Christian. And start throwing in with the youth group. Both of them, by the way, have mentioned David. So had he paid you to be up here? Is this like an advertisement?
Okay. No, actually, it was just credit. Okay. He didn't. Yeah, no money, just favors.
All right. So this summer you're at church camp. So you're a year in as far as your own faith goes, as far as having accepted Christ as Savior. And you guys see this guy that is not a believer, and you're like, you know what? There seems to be something fresh here that's brewing in him. So tell us about how you approached him to start sharing your faith. What did those steps look like?
I don't know about you, but I did a horrible job. I more became a friend with him to like hang out with him and more just be with him as a person. Because I hate to say it, but that's sadly not my immediate thought when I see someone who's like, I want to share Christ with him, because I'm just bad at that, and I should have that be my immediate reaction, but I'm just not very good at that yet. But slowly, as it kind of took root, I kind of had an inkling in my very soul that, oh, wait a second, this might be an opportunity to kind of share what I believe about this and answer any questions, because we would come out of there's a chapel at the campground, and we would come out of there after the evening little shindig, and he would just be like, so, what did David mean by this? And we're like, oh, well, you know, it'd be this, that, and the other, and he'd be like, okay, what does that mean? And I'm like, I don't know. He's like, what's the Holy Spirit? I'm like, it's like a ghost. And he's like, oh, okay, what? And he's like, well, it's like three ghosts, but two of them are guys. We're like, wait a sec, listen, we'll start from the beginning. And then we started talking. But the more we talked about that, the more it kind of became like, oh, wait, this actually, you know, it makes sense. And the more it kind of became real for him, and he was like, well, I've experienced stuff like that, you know. So it was cool.
So at what point did you realize that he is, he's taking to this and is like, okay, I believe this. Like, I want to take this step.
It wasn't till later on in the week. And me, David, and Scott kind of held him at chapel after David's
forcefully
sermon.
With
literally
him.
Held him.
Yes.
And David asked him, like, hey, how do you feel about this? And like asked him if he wanted to be baptized. And he seemed all for it. And then I told him how hard and difficult it could get. And he still was all for it. Hmm. He still wanted to be baptized. So.
Yeah. And so he was baptized when?
The end of the week. Yeah.
End of the week. There at camp or back at his church? Or?
There at camp, yeah. He, that's the thing. He didn't even have any sort of thing. We were kind of just... He went to Christian camp as kind of one of many camps that he was going to that summer, and he was just like, it seems fun. Why not?
Yeah.
It has dodgeball. And so, but then it kind of became real.
So what has this taught you? I mean, you're two believers. You're just, a year and a half in as far as being a believer, and now you've got to share your faith with someone, and you see him accept Jesus. What has that taught you? What's that challenged you to do, if anything?
It's an amazing inspiration to do it more, you know, to be better about that stuff. Because honestly, there's so many opportunities to just share your faith and stuff like that. It's not, it doesn't have to be a huge thing. Like, you don't have to convert everyone you meet. Just go up to someone and be like, hey, see you reading that book there, that kind of thing. I got a better one for you. Just pull out your Bibles that you always keep on your side, you know.
How about you, Nick? What has it taught you?
To just, when times get tough, just go back to your Bible. Don't try not to fall away from the church. Just kind of keep a maintaining of it. So
yeah, keep your eyes on Jesus. So these two guys, one who was a year into his walk, go to church camp, and they notice this guy who is not a believer, and they approach him and they share their faith, and at the end they see a life that's transformed by Jesus. God will use us in amazing ways, remarkable ways, in ways that we're not even ready for yet. So praise God, and thank you guys for doing the work of evangelism, even in our own church camp. That's awesome. Let's give these guys a hand. Thanks. Thank you, fellas. All right.
Okay, cool. Awesome. I just steal the show all the time. I'm so sorry. But it was really cool just to see the Holy Spirit just at work that whole week. And these guys just really rose to the challenge. And it impacted Aaron in a big way. In the sense that he was going to get connected and start coming here. But he actually got connected with Spencer Church of Christ. And just got adopted by a lot of the people there. And he's still serving there, and he's connected, and it's just really cool. And it's just cool to see, like, you know, there was follow-up, and Jesus still impacted his life. And not all the credit to me. Darren and Lisa were coming out and doing prayer walks. And as funny as it is, I felt like that gave a huge credit to the week. My speaking was different, just having, you know, somebody walking around with the intentionality of praying about our week of camp. And it was cool. Like, that's what we want out of our youth ministry, is for them to surpass me and to start taking ownership of their faith. So it's a really cool thing. I just had to brag on them just a little bit.
All right. Thanks, David. Let's give them all a hand. All right. Christine and Carrie, where are you? Come on up. All right. Christine Johnson and Carrie Jerry, greatest name ever. The rhyming name. They have, I'm going to let you them share some of your story. The reason I wanted to have them up here is I don't know that I've ever met two more joyful, exuberant, passionate ladies when it comes to loving Jesus and serving the church when I come into the church. Oftentimes we come to church and it seems like, you know, maybe it's supposed to be a somber thing or whatever, and sometimes we have to drag people kicking and screaming into a serving role, and these two love it. And they're doing great things with our children's ministry. So I wanted to have them up here to share that with you. So good morning. How are you? Grab one of those there and hold them close to your mouth when you talk so they can, everybody can hear you. So I'm going to just dive in. Share with us your testimony. You came to know Jesus or gave your life to him not too long ago, correct?
Yes, it was actually my birthday of last year. So I had been going to church on and off my whole life, and then when my husband and I had gotten together and moved to Kalkaska, we started growing our family, and we had each had a child before that, so we wanted to make sure that our family was knowing God and that we were heading on the right track. And so I thankfully got to work with the Shetlers. Most of everyone knows Shetler Family Dairy, and Sally was kind of my inspiration, and every day, I always had that inkling, like, I always wanted to spread God's word. I always wanted to talk about God when people were down and stuff, but I always felt like I didn't have that voice to say something. And then when I started working with Sally, we started coming here to church. I had asked Darcy where she was going, and my family had started coming here, but really having Sally, like, every day in my workplace, being able to spread God's word no matter what and not be scared at all, like, to say what she needed to say, really opened me up to be able to really dive right in. Like, I wanted to know God more. I wanted to have my children know God more. I wanted to be able to say it wherever I was. And so right after Sally passed away, I gave my life to God. And I just kept going from there.
Yeah, awesome. She's a rock star. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So tell us how you came to know Christ.
I was always in and out of church as I grew up. But as I got older, a little bit more I dove in. And then my amazing sister-in-law, her being, she's my pusher. Like, I call her my pusher. She's like, no, you're going to do this.
She's talking about Carrie, by the way.
Yeah. She's like, you don't have a choice. You're going to do this. So she's like, you're going to come to church with me this Sunday. And I came, and Andy was doing a six-week challenge. And I said, well, I guess I'm going to go for 6 weeks. And I've only missed a few times, you know, whether it was my kids or being sick. But other than that, and my mom. My mom was a good pusher, too.
Yeah.
So, and then I got baptized this past year.
Well, the interesting fact that most people don't realize either is that we had a lot of family drama within our families for years, and so Christina and I actually didn't speak for quite a few years. And then after I had gotten baptized and after I had started coming to church every Sunday and really living for God, that following Mother's Day, I really felt I needed to reach out to my family and to my mother and to Christine. And it took like a week for me to be like, oh, what are you doing on Sunday? Oh, let's go. And, I mean, God's brought us so much closer together since, I mean, anywhere before our life.
Yeah, we're together like every day. Yeah. Every Sunday, we spend all Sunday together. So.
That's awesome. Yeah. So tell me about, I'm going to jump right to the children's ministry. How did you first get involved in serving in the children's ministry?
My pusher.
Your pusher? We got to change that name around. But anyway.
Carrie. Carrie's right. My pusher. No. She asked if I wanted to help out. And I said, sure. I said, yeah. Kind of like, I don't know what I'm getting myself into. But I absolutely love it. I absolutely love the littles we have in our classroom. They're amazing. I'm so happy that Carrie pushed me. And, I mean, the kids, they teach me so much. So as much as I teach them,
hey, Sarah.
They teach me. And then Miss Sarah and Miss Allison and everybody else that answers my questions when I need help. And
so what grade kids are you teaching?
We teach first grade, or kindergarten
first grade.
And really, Sarah Blasco, she's our children's head of children's, and she kind of needed a step back. She was teaching the kindergarten and first grade, and I worked with her for about 6 months. And she had we're growing so huge in the kids. So if anyone ever needs to volunteer, we always need children volunteers. our WASP group is like 60 right now. We have so many children. It's so great. But Sarah really needed somebody to kind of take over, and I was like all in on it. But if anybody knows me, I always wait for everything, like only 5 minutes, but still. And so I said, Sarah, if I have Chrissy join with me, does that make her feel more comfortable to add us together? So we kind of took over her class together because she could be here on time, and I'm a pusher.
So tell me about your preparation, because Sarah said that every week you guys are, I mean, what does your preparation for class look like?
Chrissy normally comes in like 2 times a week, and then she drags me in, and we go over lessons. We've decorated our room. Chrissy's really into that, too. Like, she loves making our room so decorative. The kids even play in there during the middle service because it's just so fun, and we have all the toys.
So what are some things that's taught you about being in there?
Patience. And not like I didn't have any before. I have 4 kids. But just patience and waiting. Like, kids are so intelligent, and they're so smart, and they just have this life force. So it's like, it's not dealing with adults, and it's not dealing with teenagers. They're just these little people that are like vibrant.
They always have that fire burning for Jesus, so it makes us so excited.
Yeah, and they're so smart. Like, they have schooled me.
They probably teach us more than we teach them.
I prep a week long, and I go back and forth through chapters so that I know what I'm telling them. Because I'm new to this whole thing, you know, reading the Bible and understanding the stories about them and stuff. But I had a kid in the class, and they said, well, what about this? And I said, I don't know. I think I'm going to have to get back to you on that. So I went home and I read it, and I was like, I'm definitely going to have to read further into it. But they're such an amazing life force, and I love it, and I think it's made me grow more as just person. They give me that kid center again. I love that little kid feeling that they can give me. I don't know. I'm a big kid myself, so. But yeah.
All right. So last question. This was not on the page. Whenever I come in on Sunday, and I know that you deal with junk during the week because we all do. But you guys have the biggest smiles on your face. You're always excited to be there. What is it that brings you so much joy?
God is always good.
Oh, yeah. God is good. Like, no matter what.
Yeah.
Being here just makes, I don't know, it warms my heart. Like, I love this church. I'm so happy to be a part of it. We've been so welcomed. And, you know, they're welcoming to our families. And our kids are learning. And, I don't know, it just... No matter what happens throughout the week, God's great, and it coming in here kind of washes it all away. Mm-hmm. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
He's good.
Yeah. And he plants seeds. So
yeah, and we love planting seeds for the little kids. You know, we love a couple. Actually, last week, a couple of those kids up there were our kids.
Oh, that's awesome! Getting to see them get up here and sing
that's
awesome. Yeah. All right, so these two. Fairly new as far as giving their lives to Christ, fairly new to the church body. They're diving in headfirst with the children's ministry. They love being in there. There's room for you too. But whenever I see their faces, they're smiling. They're excited to be here. And I'm so glad to have them as part of our church body. So let's give them a hand. Thanks, guys. I just put it on there. That's all right. All right, so I'm switching things around a little bit in the service because I'm already over time, and we're going to end with a song here in a minute with Luke. But I want to give you here's your message from the Word today, all right? Matthew 22, Jesus was asked by the Pharisees, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, which is? Love your neighbor as yourself. Catherine and Alex loved God enough to say, we're going to be patient, we're going to wait, we're going to do things when I do meet the person God has in mind for me, we're going to do things His way. Why? Because He's called us to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Scott and Nick reached out. They shared their faith with an unbelieving young man who came to church camp with them. Why? Because they love God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, and they love their neighbor as themselves. Christine and Carrie came to church. Why? They learned that they need to love the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that does mean loving His church as well. And that by loving these children on a weekly basis, they are loving their neighbor as themselves. I don't know of a better way to illustrate what Jesus was sharing with the Pharisees and the scribes that day than to have you hear it from some in our very own body. Now I'm going to ask anybody that read the Bible all the way through this year, or you're on track to, I know there's 2 days left, but I think you can handle those last 2 days, I want you to come down real quick, all right?